morning, if you have your Bibles, if you'll be turning to the Gospel of Mark in the 10th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. You can sweeten the air with the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and upon that confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of Mark, in the 10th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabbi, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I do not know how many sermons I've used or preached from this text. When I read the book of Mark and the 10th chapter and beginning in verse 46, I indeed find a very powerful lesson. And there are so many lessons one can find from this great text of Scripture. But at this time, I'd like for us to note several things from the book of Mark and the 10th chapter. The first thing I want you to note is that there is a man identified as Bartimaeus. And when you look at this man, I want you to note that this man is sitting outside the city of Jericho, and he's sitting at the roadside. And I've often wondered if someone led him there or how he found his way to the roadside, but that man was there, and notice the Bible says he's begging. I want you to think that this man was sitting there, and no doubt there was a man that thought that he had to make his livelihood off of others. They didn't have Social Security like we have. They didn't have disability. So this man sat by the roadside, no doubt lonely, no doubt feeling inadequate, and he depended upon others for food. But then observe in your Bible, in verse 47, that he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. I want you to take note, the man could not see, but he heard the name of Jesus, and notice the name of Jesus provoked a reaction to this man. This man began to cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, have mercy on me." I want you to think about this man, when he heard the name of Jesus, became excited and thrilled. You know, there are two reactions that people have to the name of Jesus. Number one, either you'll love it, or number two, you'll hate it. Some people will use the holy name and swear it, and do not show reverence to Christ as they should. But when this man heard the name of Jesus, no doubt we find he became greatly excited and began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the next question someone might ask is, why did this man shout out in the crowd? Here he is in the midst of a great crowd. No doubt it would have been a large crowd. And this man begins to cry out. And notice in verse 48 that several of the people warned him. It says many warned him to be quiet. Here he was in a great crowd, and he was not a bit concerned about what other people would think. There was a man that was not concerned when they rebuked him to be quiet. But this man cried out all the more. He wanted to get the attention of Jesus. Have you ever stopped to think that amongst all the noise of that crowd, Jesus heard the desperate pleas of this man? Over all the noise and of all the things that were going on at that time, Jesus heard the cries of a man who was begging him to stop. Jesus heard the cries of a desperate man. And this man cried out, and here he was in his desperation blind, crying on the name of Jesus. And he cried out unashamedly. He recognized this might be his only chance to get to Jesus. And he was right, because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die on Calvary. I may not know much about that man, blind Bartimaeus, but I know that much. But then if you take your Bible in the book of Mark in the 10th chapter, look again at verse 49. And notice the Bible says, Jesus stood still. Oh, I'll tell you, that's a powerful sentence. Jesus stood still. Jesus stopped what he was doing and stood still for that man. Now, notice carefully, although this man was blind, Jesus did not go to him, but he called Bartimaeus to come to him. Have you ever thought that when Jesus stopped, Jesus showed one desperate soul attention amidst all that was going on? He could have been preoccupied with the fact that he was going to Calvary to die. His mind could have been thinking about the suffering he would endure. But instead, he heard the cries of one desperate individual. He stopped, and then he called the man. But someone may say, well, why didn't Jesus go to him? Why did he call for the man to come to him? Because when Jesus stops for you, you have to do your part and go to him. Jesus stood still. So the blind man was able to find his way. And notice the crowd said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. Then in verse 50, the man throws aside his garment. He didn't want anything to hinder him from getting to Jesus. And I've tried to picture in my mind this man fumbling his way up to the Son of God as quickly as he could. Can you just not picture this blind man trying to get through the crowd, trying to find his way to Jesus? And there Jesus stood still. But then if you take your Bible, notice, if you will, the question that Jesus asked in verse 51. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Now I wonder how many people said, Jesus, can you not see this man is blind? Why do you ask him, what do you want me to do? No doubt he wants you to heal him. Jesus, this man is here and he has a need. Why would you ask him, what do you want me to do? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus wanted the man to confess his need. The man unashamedly in front of the crowd said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And look at what Jesus says in verse 52. In verse 52, he says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Can you imagine that statement? Look at the response of Jesus. The man's faith in Christ plus the work of Jesus took away the man's blindness. I would imagine the first face he saw was Jesus. And can you imagine the joy in his heart as his life had now been changed? And observe, Jesus said to the man, you're free to go. Go your way. But this man followed Jesus down the road, it says. He followed Jesus in verse 52. I'll tell you, once you come in contact with the Son of God, going your way is no longer an option. You'll want to follow him. Have you ever thought that he may have followed him to Jerusalem? The Bible doesn't say, but I've often wondered if that man may have stood and even looked at Jesus on Calvary with tears rolling down his eyes. I do not know. But one thing I do know is that Jesus stopped, Jesus asked, and Jesus healed this man. And for this man, the days of begging were over. This man was no longer on the roadside inactive, but after he saw Jesus, his life was forever changed, and now for him, he was going to follow Jesus. He recognized it wouldn't always be easy, because the one that's leading the way was going to carry a cross. And as his disciples, people are called to take up their cross and follow him. Yet this man followed Jesus. Have you ever thought that Jesus stopped and heaven stood still for one man? But I want you to think again in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter. Now Jesus is in heaven in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter, and he reigns at the right hand of God. And I want you to take note that there's a man named Stephen who preached a sermon. And notice that the people at that time, they resisted the sermon, and they are resisting the teaching of Stephen. And they heard what Stephen had said, and he says in verse 54 that they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's interesting because the Hebrew letter says that when Jesus finished His work, He sat down at the right hand of God. But when He saw His servant, He saw His disciple about to be killed, Jesus stood up. In the hour of pain and in the hour of problem and in the hour of persecution, notice that Jesus didn't remove all that, but He was aware of what was going on with Stephen. And Jesus stood still. Heaven stopped and noticed that disciple. In our darkest hour, heaven stands still for God's children. I want to take that lesson, make application, and the lesson journeys. The first thing I want us to think about is what hinders some people today from coming to Jesus is embarrassment. They're afraid of what others will say or what others will think. I'll tell you what we need is more people like Bartimaeus. More people who are not afraid to cry out and show their need for the Son of God. You know, sometimes I'm made to wonder if we just put on a mask for everybody else, but deep down we're desperate. We really need the prayers of others. We really need the help of others, but we're too ashamed to let others know what our desperate need is. We're afraid that they'll think less of us. They'll think afraid that they'll think that we are weak. And my friend, sometimes we just want to put on a front that we are so strong when in reality we need others. And we're so fearful of what others think that we don't do the thing we need to do. But secondly, we all need to beg Jesus for mercy. Because every one of us was a sinner. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's what we all deserve. But what? He said the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve, and mercy is withholding that from which we do deserve. And God has shown us mercy and grace. Have you ever stopped to think about how we need God's mercy? How we need God's grace? Thirdly, do you know that He calls you to come to Him? Do you recognize this morning you may be spiritually blind and you may be in sin, you may be separated from God, and do you recognize that Jesus has stopped, He has finished His work, and Jesus calls for you? You remember that in Matthew chapter 11 that Jesus makes the great call to all mankind when He said, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have you ever thought that Jesus calls us to come and receive salvation? And when we come and we're baptized into Christ, we're showing our need. We're following His word and we're following His terms, but we're accepting the invitation that He has offered. Just like Bartimaeus had to come to God on his terms, Jesus said, "Come here." Jesus didn't do it all. Jesus said, "There's something for you to do, Bartimaeus. Come here." And there's something for us to do. We're to be baptized into Christ and be raised up. And notice, my friend, what happens when one is raised up to walk in newness of life? We are forgiven of our sins. And notice what heaven's response is in Luke 15 and verse 10. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Heaven notices one sinner. Have you ever felt insignificant, inadequate? Have you ever felt like nobody notices you and that nobody cares for you? I want you to recognize this morning, you can make heaven stand still if you make your life right with God. That the angels rejoice over one sinner that repents and makes his life right. I tell you, we need to desperately see how much we need Jesus. And if I could have the ability, and I know today I'm not having the ability, but if I had the ability to put it into the hearts of men and women, I would that I could get people to see how they need the mercy and grace of God. But I'll tell you something. If you see Jesus by faith, you'll follow. Jesus offers eternal life. That is the greatest gift ever offered. And Jesus already paid the price so we can have everlasting joy and be with Him forever. He never said it would be easy to be a disciple, but He has promised that whenever we face in life, it'll be worth it when we finally see Him. Look in your Bible in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, remember Paul said, I consider that the suffering of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you first see Jesus? When Bartimaeus first saw Jesus, it changed. I don't know what it'll be like when we first see Him in the judgment. But can you imagine it'll be a fearful thing? And I do not confess to know what it'll be like the first moment in heaven. I do know we'll all bow. When I was little, I would walk home from school. And my mother would be sitting on the porch waiting for me. I would leave early. I had the duty of folding the flag. And I would leave right after we folded the flag and I'd take off for home. And I would never forget when I turned the street, I'd see her sitting there and I would run the last little bit. And I'd go up the steps and she would hug me and ask me about my day. I would think about that hug. I wish I could have it again. And when I come home from a gospel meeting and I've been gone, one of the greatest joys is to walk through the door and see my boys running to hug me and say, Daddy's home. I get the picture in Luke 15 of the father running to his child to greet him home. Without a doubt, in the presence of Jesus, we'll be in such awe that we'll all bow. But notice with me Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 for just a moment. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, notice when John saw the great picture of the revelation before him of what Jesus looked like, he fell at his feet as dead. But Jesus laid his right hand on him, saying, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. How many times had John heard that? Do not be afraid. Jesus laid his hand on his shoulder. He laid his hand on him. I thought about that. Can you imagine seeing Jesus for the first time and being greeted home? You see, we're not home yet. And with all the problems and troubles that this life gives us, one thing that I keep trying to relive in my mind, and I have to have help so often, is I'm not home yet. That I've not received the reward. I've not seen the face of Jesus yet. But one day I will see His face. And one day I will be in awe of Him and I'll bow before Him. But wouldn't it be wonderful if He put His hand on you and He said, You don't have to be afraid anymore. You have come into the home of eternal glory and you'll be with Jesus for eternity. You finally are home. And there, as we sang just a few moments ago, there'll be no more tears of sorrow, no more trials, no more troubles. Won't it be wonderful to be able to look in the eye of the one who died because He loved you? Won't it be wonderful to behold the fact you're finally not going to face death anymore, and you're not going to face trials anymore, and you finally are going to see the one who loved you more than anything else that He was willing to give Himself for you? I would that I had the ability this morning to put into your heart that Jesus is standing and waiting for you. We sing that song, While He Calls Us, Sinner, Won't You Come? And we've got some in this audience that need to obey the gospel. They don't see their need, but I would that they would. That their life right now is separated from God, and they don't have a home to look forward to. They have an eternal punishment that they're headed for. And I would that they could see that God has offered them eternal life. And in the most pitiful way that I've uttered these words today, my prayer is that if you need to be baptized, that Jesus is calling you to obey Him, do your part, and receive a gift. And follow Him. And even when life gets hard and when trouble comes, you keep following Him. I'll tell you, the only hand I know that you can hold on to for all eternity is that nail-scarred hand. And let Jesus lead us home. As together we stand and sing.